God is so good. It's just good to walk. It's so good to walk with Him. And the further, like what Shelley was saying before we started praise and worship, just the further, you know, you go in life, you see how living for God just, it pays off. You know, it pays off. And when we yield to Him, His way is the best way. We believe that? His way is the best way. I know the world has all kinds of ways. All things that they're saying, well, this is the right way, or this is the way you should approach things. This is how you should do your marriage. You know, you could stop right there and preach for 3 hours. Good thing we have a marriage seminar coming up. But there are all kinds of ideas about marriage, ideas about how men and women should relate to each other. And the world just goes off on these tangents, and then they wonder why it's not working. But it's not because we're not listening to God. It's not that we need God or that we're not doing what He would say. That's not the problem. So what is the problem? You just keep beating their head against it. But God's not the answer. And it's not that we're, you know, the Bible, who cares about the Bible? Now, why can't we solve these problems? Well, maybe you should look to the Lord and to what the Bible... No, that's an outdated book. No, what's the problem? Let's try to figure this out. And people do that in all areas, and they wonder, why are we having these problems? Why are we having the drug epidemics that we're having? And it's not that hard. We just, you know, we've rejected God in a lot of areas, and people have their own ideas and their own ways of doing things, and then they wonder, well, this doesn't work. But it's not, the answer is never, well, look to the Lord. Look to Him and do it His way. And the further you go, you can just see He's right. He knows what He's talking about. And it's the same way in every area. So as we see the truth in an area, our job is to just put it into practice, to do it. And whether your flesh or my flesh feels like it or thinks that's the right way, it's the right way. And we'll see it come to pass and see our lives improve every time. The fact is, we're surrounded with unbelief. We're surrounded with doubt. That's what we're talking about, is doubt. But you don't have to look very far. All you have to do is just talk to somebody or look at your phone or turn on the TV, and there's doubt and unbelief there, fear, just things that will try to take you away from God. So that's why we need to encourage ourselves and build ourselves up and look to His Word constantly. We need to be built up. We need to be fed. You know, you didn't probably just eat like last on Sunday and then you know, that's carried you through till today. I bet every one of you has eaten more than one meal this week. Is that true? Anybody can stand up and say, nope, me, I ate, you know, last week or Sunday and I haven't eaten since. You probably ate more than one meal today. Right? Well, why do people think, well, I can just read the Bible once in a while, I'll just go to church, you know, once in a while and that's good, I'm good. That's not true. You know, we need to feed ourselves continually on the Word. Our spiritual man, our natural man needs sustenance, but our internal, our spirit man, the real us, needs sustenance too to keep going strong. Amen? Amen. So we're talking about doubt, and I'm going to have you turn to Mark 11:22. Or it's there on your sheet as well. Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22. Praise the Lord. Mark 11:22 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'" You know, this is in the situation where Jesus had cursed the fig tree. And, he's illustrating to his disciples. Why don't you look back at verse 12? It says, "Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry." Jesus was hungry. "And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." So they went into Jerusalem, and then the next day, verse 20, "Now in the morning, as they passed by," so, you know, they went into the city, they went home, and then this is the next day, they're going the same way that they were the day before. It says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them," you realize most people don't, I mean, that seems minor, but most people, if they don't believe the Bible, they don't believe that either. You know, they probably say, "Well, he had a bottle of Roundup. That's why he spoke to it, and then actually he sprayed it at the same time, and he came." Either the disciples just didn't see it. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, they wouldn't say Roundup, but you know, something happened, because they'll explain it away. That's the way people that don't believe the Bible, they're going to say, "Well, you know, this is what was really going on. This is what the people were really seeing when they thought the earth stood still." You know. It really didn't happen that way. You know, the Egyptians, they really didn't drown. See, I mean, this is what was... The sea didn't really stand up. It was just this wind. Well, the Bible says the wind was blowing, but this is what was really going on. Well, you know, like we were talking about several weeks ago, you can't read too far in the Bible without seeing something that you're going to go, you're going to have to choose to believe or not believe. I mean, it's just full of it. It's not just one thing. It's not just the creation or the, you know... It's all through the Bible, just miracle after miracle. You're going to look at it and you're going to choose, I believe that or I don't believe that. And there's stumbling blocks everywhere. Well, I don't believe in the flood. Well, Jesus did, because he talked about it. You know, I don't believe in Jonah. There's no way. See, when number one, there's no way that could happen. And people say it's just the throat was too small, whatever. But Jesus said that he was 3 days in the belly of the whale. He said, "And that's what I'm going to do, just like he was 3 days in the belly of the whale. I'm going to be in the belly of the earth." You know, so Jesus said, so you can't say, "Well, that's just the Old Testament. It's messed up," because Jesus said the same thing. And it's like that all throughout. And it'll sound like, at first glance, like there's just poking holes in a few things, but you get down to it, it's just unbelief. We don't believe it, and that's a choice. And if we realize it's a choice, that'll set you free. That'll uncover some things. Because people make a choice whether they want to believe the word or not. We all do. Every time you read a verse, you can look and say, "Well, I believe that, or I don't believe it." So believing is a choice. It's not a matter of you working up enough belief. Think about it. Think about it in the natural. What do? When you decide to believe something, right? You've probably seen commercials or claims or an infomercial or something, and you might look at it and go, "Nah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. That's trickery on the camera. That's something. I don't believe it." But you could believe it. What are you doing? You've decided based on what you know of the situation and your life experience that this doesn't add up, and I'm not going to believe that. Right? But some people will believe it. Some people are going to get on the phone and sign up for 5 installments of $19.95 right now. Because if they don't call within the next 20 minutes, it's going to be the same price. They don't know that, but they're saying it's going to go up, right? But some people are like, "Yeah, that's all it takes." Those guys on TV and those gals with exercise equipment, those are the only things they've ever done is use that piece of equipment to get that body that they have. And it doesn't have anything to do with genetics or what their parents were like or anything. They have just used this machine and they got that ripped body, and it's only 20 minutes 3 times a week, too. If you believe that. Seriously, I mean, but you could believe it. You could say, "Yeah, that's me. This guy, look at him. I mean, look at that before and after picture. It's not like he was pushing out his gut at the beginning and now he's going like that. But I believe that. And if I spend that money, I'm going to look like that too." And so people, you know, I mean, yeah, it's just not all that, right? So people say, no, I believe it. And so they believe it, they sign up for it. But you could look at it and say, yeah, there's a little more to it than that. I'm not saying every instance. I'm saying you make a choice whether you're going to believe the claims of somebody, you know, whether it's a car or a piece of exercise equipment, right? Yeah. You choose. Am I going to buy this? Do I believe the advertised claims? But you're basing it on something. You're basing it on the understanding that you have, your life experience. Maybe you've been around this. This is in your first rodeo. You've seen this thing come around different packages. You're like, yeah, I've been there, tried that. I'm gonna move on. But somebody else is, hey, this looks awesome, and so they're going to jump in. Well, we're choosing. Well, when you go through the Word, it's not a matter of, see, people look at faith as, I got to get enough faith. You know what you're really doing? You have to get to where you assess the situation, and you're going to choose, you believe God. That's all it is. Did you hear me? That's faith. And people are trying to believe hard. It's not, you don't do that in the natural. Do you? So you believe somebody. Let me ask you, so in this situation we're talking about, if you saw some information, are you trying real hard not to believe that? No, you just look at it and go, no, I don't believe that. Now, there's other situations. There are people that you trust. So can everybody think of one person that they trust? That if they said something, you would say, all right, I'm going to meet you at such and such a place at, you know, noon, and we're going to have lunch. And you would say, all right. And you don't, if you trust that person, you're not saying, well, let me see if I can rehearse everything I know about you, and I'm going to try to believe you, but, you know, I'm going to check. I may call you a few times coming up to it. If you trust the person, that's it. What time are we meeting? Where are we meeting? Okay, we'll see you there, right? You walk away, you don't think about it, you look at your calendar, you show up, right? Yeah. That's the way it is with God. Did you hear me? Yeah. It's a matter of if you trust somebody, you've made an assessment based on what you know of that person, what they've said to you, how they've acted in the past, you know, what you know of their character, and so when they say something, you make an assessment if you're going to believe them or not. And the more you know of that character. Now, same thing. Let's say one of your friends that you trust tells you about some piece of equipment that they used in their experience and said, and you've seen where they've been, you've known them for 30, 40 years, and they said, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff, but I got this thing, and I'm telling you, this helped me a lot. Now, what are you thinking now? If you know this person, you trust them, are you in the same frame of mind as when you saw it on TV with a bunch of actors? You're thinking, well, okay, I'm listening. Because why? It's somebody that you trust, that you've assessed, tells the truth, you know something about them, and they're saying, this is actually the real deal. Well, now, you have a choice. You could still say, I still don't believe it, but what? You're influenced by your background and what you assess them, and you say, And you may even decide you're going to go pick one up and try it out. What changed? You decided to trust this person and chose to believe. And that's the way it is with the Word, is that we choose. And when people say, oh, well, I'm just trying to build my faith, what you're assessing is what you know of God. The more you understand God, see, if everybody understood and saw God perfectly and saw situations perfectly, then you would be like, well, it's a no-brainer. I mean, but that's not faith. We don't see everything perfectly. We don't understand perfectly. But the more you understand of God and His character, you choose to believe. So you get to the place where you choose to believe, even though it doesn't look like anything, because you're saying, but I know God. He said this. It doesn't look like this, but I trust what God said more than this. And so, you know, when we come up to this place where Jesus cursed the fig tree and it died, whether anybody believes it or not, it died at His word. And so the disciples, you know, Peter, he's saying, Rabbi, look, teacher, look, the fig tree which you cursed, it's withered away. And so Jesus uses this as a moment to teach. Verse 22, it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So notice it says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt. See, this is the part we're talking about, is doubt. Because people will say, well, I told it to go, it didn't. Okay, but what does the Bible say? It says, if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and do not doubt. What's doubt? It's deciding, I don't know. I'm not sure. You're wavering. You're thinking, well, I don't know. Why would you think I don't know? Because of what you see. But it says, let's just read this and let's move on a little bit. Read some more scriptures along this line. Be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Now, believes. So you have to believe. Believing's a choice. You have a free will to believe or not, but how do you... You need the Bible. Faith comes by hearing what? The Word, which is evidence to help you. You can choose to believe regardless, but when you're... if your faith is wavering, sometimes you just need to look back at the promises and say, no, I believe what this Word says, and then you don't doubt. It says you will have whatever you say. And then he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you what? You'll have them. So why don't you, let's turn over to Romans 10. So it says, believe or does not doubt in his heart. Now this is a big deal that it says, do not doubt or does not doubt in his heart. Romans 10 verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we've talked about that before, that faith is of the heart. It says in verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe where? In your heart, that God had, not in your head, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes. With the heart, your real spirit, your spirit man, the real you. That's how you believe. It's not with your head. And it's not doubt in your head either. And this is critical. Because you can have faith in your heart and have doubt in your head and it still works. Did you hear me? Because some people, they start having doubts in their head and they say, well, I'm doubting, it's not going to work. No, if it's up here, that's different than letting it in your heart. Say, how is it different? You can have thoughts of doubt. In other words, you can see circumstances and your mind says, I don't see how this is going to change. Well, that's your mind. That's understanding. Say, if you saw, I don't see how this situation is going to change, you don't have to see it. You don't have to be able to figure it out. But if you start letting this dominate you and say, I don't see it, I don't know how, well, that's in your head. But if you let it get to where you stop believing that it can change, then that's when you start doubting with your heart. That's when you drop. That's when you let go of your faith and you don't... What's faith? It's confident expectation something's going to change. How do you know when you're starting to doubt, you don't expect it to happen anymore? When the thoughts get to where you decide, yeah, it probably isn't going to happen, you've dropped it. We'll keep moving. You guys are looking at me like, okay, you're processing, that's okay. Verse 9, that if you confess your mouth, this is critical though, this will set you free. Because the devil works in the realm of your soul. And he tries to put pressure on your soul. He's the god of this world. And he has access into this world. And he's a master illusionist. And he's a liar. He knows how to manipulate things and tell you lies about what you see. And if you believe them and let them in and let them start affecting what you believe, that's how he defeats Christians. So if we understand this, we can address these tactics. Verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look over on your sheet at 1 Peter. It says in this, verse 6, 1 Peter 1, verse 6, in this you were greatly rejoiced, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So it says a number of things here. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, by these trials, by things going on, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have seen the Lord Jesus physically, not in a vision? But do you believe? Do you believe in him? Not seeing, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing. You don't see, yet you believe. And some people say seeing is believing. That's not true. If you see it, you don't need to believe. Right? If you see, if you see that it's sunny outside, you don't have to say, I believe it's going to be sunny outside. If you say, I believe it's going to be sunny outside, and you're standing right next to somebody and they're like, okay, whatever. And, you know, it's already sunny. I believe, name your favorite team, is going to win such and such. Well, if it's last year, you know, I believe the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. You know, last year. Well, okay. That's not believing. That's just talking about the past, right? Now, if you start to say, I believe we're going to win this year, well, you don't know. That's, I believe. And some people, you know, have teams that aren't having such a great record. And I believe in my team. Well, maybe at that point they say that takes more faith. Why? Because it sure doesn't look like it, right? So it's what you see is not, well, seeing is not believing. It's when you don't see it that you have to believe. Seeing is, it's there. I don't have to believe anything. I can, you know, believing is not really believing. You don't need faith to believe something that's there. I believe Nick is sitting in this seat with all my heart. I believe it. I'm a faith man. I believe he's sitting there. Believe it. Okay, great. He's sitting there, so why am I saying that? But I said, I believe Nick's coming tonight. Well, why would I believe that? If he told me he was coming and I believed what he said, whatever, well, that would be faith. But see, right here, our seeing is what our seeing, you could say feeling, the pressure that the sight realm and the sense realm pushes on you, that can push you to not believe or to doubt, to drop what you believe. And right here, I mean, we're basing our eternal security on the fact that Jesus, whom we have not seen, came to earth 2,000 years ago when none of us were here, was born of a virgin, which none of us can prove, that he lived life sinless, which you cannot prove, and you weren't there, and even if you were there, you couldn't follow him around every second of every day, not possible. And he went to the cross, which you cannot prove, and took your sins, which you can't see, and then he rose again, which again, you can't empirically prove. And because he was justified, that you are saved. So your whole eternal security, and what you say, and I say we believe, you cannot see any of it, which is exactly what this is saying. Yet you believe. Right? Yes. Do we believe? That's what we would be called Christians. It says, though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice. We can say, thank God I'm going to heaven. Thank God I'm secure. Thank God my spirit is recreated. Why? You haven't seen any of that. But we believe. We believe. Yet we'll say, I mean, people, it's almost like that's secondary. Well, that's salvation. There is nothing bigger than that. If we're not saved, forget all the other stuff we talk about believing for. I'd take salvation over any of it. Because this is going to be over like this. This life is just, you know, snap. Eternity is a long time. Yeah. So if I messed up in that, that's a bad thing. Yes. But we believe it. All these things I just said, none of you can stand up and say, I was there, I know, I'll prove it to you. I'll show you the picture. I have a video. What do you believe in? You're believing words of men written in this book that tell you it's true. And then you have a choice. Do I believe it? Or do I choose not to believe it? Do I believe Jesus is the Son of God and that he rose from the dead and that by believing on him that I can be saved? So you could even believe Jesus came, but then do you believe that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you're saved? Do I believe it? I have a choice right there. Do I believe it? Will I act on it? It's a choice. I said it's a choice. But if that's a choice, choosing to believe on our Savior, and it's for eternal, it's of eternal significance, everything else that has to do with faith is the same way. It's not working something up. It's determining, I believe that. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I feel. Because you could have days where you feel like I'm not saved. You could feel, I mean, I'm not saying you doubt your salvation, but you could feel like, man, you know, and people might even wonder if they're saved sometimes. But how would you know? If you're truly born again, and if you've been taught biblically, how would you know that you're saved? You would have to go back and say, but the Bible says that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I'm saved. So I believe I'm saved. Why? Because I feel like it? No, but because the Bible says it's got to come back to the Word. And so it says, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. Notice that. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The end of your faith, what you were believing for, you received completely. The salvation of your souls. Look at Romans on your sheet. Let's go there. Romans 4:16. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Now this is talking about Abraham, the father of faith. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. Now notice Abraham. You guys know the story of Abraham? Abram. You know, God told him he was old. He had never had a child, and Sarah, his wife, is old and never had a child. And God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Renamed him Abraham. And he said, you're going to have a child. And Abraham believed him. And the Bible says it was counted to him as righteousness. But he chose to believe him. Verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. Abraham chose to believe God, chose to take him at his word. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. There's so much here. This is the way God operates. So with God, seeing is not believing, because God calls those things that don't exist as though they did. He calls the things that aren't yet as though they are. But if he called them the way they're going to be, then they will be. When he said, light be, it wasn't, but then it was. Because he said it. And this is the way he operates. He cursed that fig tree, and then it died. He says things, and he calls things in his word the way they will be. They just aren't in this realm yet. But when he says it, it's got to show up. And so when he says certain things about us, we have a choice again. Do I believe it? Do I act on it? But what if I don't see it? Well, that's kind of the way it is with God. He says things and calls things that aren't, they don't exist. So when people say, well, I just don't see it, that's the status quo. If you're going to walk with God, and I mean, Abraham didn't see his children either. He had a choice. And it didn't happen right away either. It was years before it happened. But God said it, and so Abraham had a choice. He could have said, no way, no how. And you wouldn't know about Abraham. You wouldn't. It wasn't like he was predestined. That man made a choice to believe God. And to take him at his word. And because of that, you know Abraham. And he is the father of faith. And it's the same thing. We may be generations down the line on this earth, but we have the same choice. When God says something, we have a choice. Am I going to believe him? Am I going to take him at his word? But it doesn't look like that's true. Does it look like you're saved? There's so many things that you can say, but it doesn't look like. But the Word says it. So now we have a choice. Are we going to say, take God at His Word and say, God, you said it, and so that's enough for me. You have never lied. Your character's true. I believe you. I know this is the way you operate. You set things up and call those things that be not as though they were. That means in God's mind, it's done. It is that way. Whether we see it or not, it's that way. What is our choice? We have a choice to say, you know what? I believe you. I believe that what you said will change. That I believe you more than I believe what I see. What I see tells me what you said is not true. But you deal in this all the time. You, Lord God, deal in things and you purposely call things that are not as though they were. My job is to agree that what you said is true and then I'll see it after I believe and receive. My job is not to doubt you along the way and say, well, I just don't see it yet. This right here is what happens every day. We have a choice whether to believe him. And just because you believed him yesterday does not mean you automatically believe him today. You have to get up and say, Lord, I believe you still. I still believe you. But it doesn't look any better. That has nothing to do with it. I believe you and I praise you and I thank you. Praise God. You know, I remember. I don't think anybody, well, Rebecca, you were. But on Andover Street, when we had the church there, the first church building we were in, it's in a basement. It is a commercial area, but it's a house. It's a big house, and then the basement was a commercial area, and it was like 1,100 square feet. But anyway, if this is the door, it had steps coming, it had a little landing, then it had steps coming down. And then there was this room here, and the pulpit was right up here. And then it went off to the side and had a counter, and then there was a couple rooms back there. We had one that was the children's and toddler room together. Eventually, we had another room that was the toddler room. But anyway, the pulpit's right here, and there's the door. And when it opened, it rang a little bit. And I would play the piano right up here. And here's the door. And I'm telling you so many times in praise and worship, I mean, especially the first year, there's one person. When that door had opened, I mean, I had to look past the empty seats and say, there's going to be a time where there's more people out here and, this place, that place would be, overflowing now. We don't have, you think, I mean, with as many people as we have now, I mean, not tonight, but it would be more than filling that place, but even with at that point, I did not see anybody. I mean, well, two people, plus my family. And when I would hear that thing open, you'd see another person come in, like one, two. Sometimes there'd be another person. And it was like that. And then even the second year, there was four besides my family. And it was like that for years. But I'm telling you, when I get up there, and to this day, I don't look out in the congregation sometimes. I don't let it move me at all when I'm playing the piano. I just don't want to see. I mean, sometimes I when people are coming in, I just don't even look. But when there, I would not, it was just like, you have to do it. If you looked, you have to get hooked up with your heart. And when you're looking at stuff, it's just in your face, certain things. And so I just had to say, look, God, you told us to do this. And there's going to come a day where there are people that are going to fill up this place. But right now, I am looking at what you said, not at what I'm seeing. And so we're going to praise God, and I don't care, as if there was 1,000 people out there or 2,000 people out there. And when you get hooked up with your heart and shut off your head, then your sense, you're hooked up in the right place. You can praise God. And you get hooked up with your spirit. You can believe him. But you can't do that by looking at circumstances. If you're looking at the circumstance and saying, what about this? And I don't know about this. You're going to be head dominated. And then if you start letting that affect your heart, then you're sunk. But you can have doubts up here. You can have thoughts up here and thinking, like when I would say, you would have thoughts going, what are you doing? You're nuts. Just... there's nobody here. Again, just shut the place down. And if you listen to that, you can have thoughts up here, but you don't let it make you stop believing. You don't let it in. Like somebody said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head in the air, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. Okay? You can't stop the thought from coming. What about this? What about... but you can rebut it, and you don't have to dwell on it. And so that's the difference between your head and your heart. Just because you have a thought does not mean, oh no, I'm not in faith anymore. Oh no, I'm not believing. No, it's normal because you're seeing things. Just because things hit you does not mean you're sunk. You just keep believing anyway. And if you know this is the way God operates, you can get sassy about it. You can say, yeah, we don't see it, but I will see it. It'll change. You watch. It'll change. This is what God deals in. He deals with the invisible. He deals with things that aren't. And he says they are. So I'm in good company. Abraham was that way. I'm right on the right track. It's not here yet, but it will be here. Because that's the way God operates. This is his MO. God says it. It doesn't look like it. But wait a minute. If we stay on the track, it will show up. This is what happens. And for us to say, well, I just don't see it yet. I just don't know how it'll ever change. We just dropped. We just let doubt rob us of what God had for us. Amen. God works this way. God has a good plan for everybody, and he has things in his word that he's promised, and he said, if we will believe, if we will reach out and believe and act on the word and stay there, then we'll see it. And just because we don't see something is not any way, any reason to drop at all, ever. Then we wouldn't need faith. Amen? We're gonna have to stop there and hook up. I think we got into some things. We'll just pick it up there next time. Hallelujah.